I'm Steve Van Diemender with the University of Oregon, and I have fallen into actually teaching a system administration class, even though my primary job is just being a system administrator rather than an educator. And so, why have I come to do this? I think that educating people about system administration is important. I mean, even just from working with other coworkers, where we're all sort of trying to improve each other's skills, that there is a real need to help other system administrators learn about the profession. There's also a lot of reasons to help other people who even aren't system administrators or aren't going to become system administrators learn about the profession, just so that people understand what the profession is about and what it does. Part of the reason I wrote this practice and experience report is that there's also relatively little material out there on course and curriculum material. There's just, there are certainly some other schools that teach individual courses or even entire degree programs, and sometimes their material is available, sometimes it isn't. I'm trying to sort of just give an example of, here's how you can do a class, here's what you can put into it, here are some things you can think about in terms of how to construct it. And the motivation is that I think it's important now that we develop more people who can teach other people about system administration. Historically, a lot of system administrators have just sort of come up through the ranks as self-taught people who have just, they had to learn on their own because there weren't external resources available. No one had done what they wanted to do before. Everything had to be invented. We're sort of reaching the point in the profession where, there are a lot of known good ways to do stuff, and there is a demand for system administrators that I think now exceeds the amount that will be produced just by people coming into the profession on their own. We need to start attracting and developing potential system administrators. And, and if I can get any of you to even consider either, even if you don't start teaching, maybe just bug somebody about, hey, have you thought about doing a class about this stuff? I didn't go into the profession necessarily wanting to do education. I mean, it wasn't an explicit goal of mine at the beginning. Although, I did work in a lot of collaborative environments, and I did like working with people to, help them improve their skills. And I work with people who like to help me improve my skills. And so there was this sort of culture of, let's try to teach each other about what we need to do and develop good practices. But what did happen is that in 1999, when I was signing up for LISA, it's like, there are these tutorials. Here's a tutorial I could take, and here's another one I could take. And this day is just not, none of those tutorials look good to me, but there's this System Administration Education Workshop. And I kind of almost attended it on a whim. It's like, it'll be interesting. It'll be different than the tutorial. It turned out to be a lot more interesting than I was even expecting, as I will explain in a bit. When I got back, inspired by what I had experienced in the workshop, I started asking some of our computer science faculty about whether there was any interest in the department having a course on system administration. The first person I ran into was the department head at the time, and I was on good terms with her. She's a very nice person, but I asked her about this, and she said, but that would be so practical. And I actually later ran into, I ran into her a couple of years ago, and I mentioned, when I asked you about this, and you said it would be so practical, and she said, I was just joking. And it didn't sound like it at the time, it wasn't obvious, it wasn't obvious you were being sarcastic about it. But at another point, when a colleague of mine and I went to talk to another professor's class, where this professor taught the operating systems classes at our university, and after we were done talking and on our way out, I stopped by her and asked her, hey, I've been thinking about trying to get a class in system administration going in the computer science department. And her response was, that would be great. Will you teach it? I was like, maybe. There were a couple of things that contributed to this. One is that, I had a very nice manager at the time, and also my contract with the university actually, for, in a certain sense, political reasons, specified that I could do teaching even though that wasn't one of my job duties. It was sort of like to get me into a particular job category, they had to claim that, oh, he might be doing teaching rather than not. And in my case, I could take advantage of that to go, okay, I can teach. You know, it's in my contract, see? And so I, within a few weeks, I started getting email from the person who ran their summer session about, you know, hey, here's when we want to set up your course, and here's, you know, what do you want to do with this? What do you want in the course catalog? It's like, wow, okay. So, you know, what had I gotten myself into? The education workshop was really interesting because it basically revealed that there were a lot of people interested in education, and they were frequently interested in a lot of very different and almost sometimes competing things. There were people there who were already educators, and there were people like me there who, at least at the time, were not educators. There were representatives from both academic and commercial organizations. There were people who wanted, you know, there were people who were very much in the sort of academic education mode for how they thought people should be taught. And there were people from companies who kind of just wanted to come up, have better ideas for how to train their employees on how to do things. And even among the educators, of course, there were a lot of different philosophies about how to teach. And in fact, a lot of my talk is going to be just about, you know, well, you know, there are a lot of different ways to do this. Here's the things I pick based on my personal preferences. And a lot of this divergent thinking, I think, partly results from system administration hasn't really figured itself out yet in a lot of ways. I mean, on the other hand, there, as I even mentioned, you know, during question time at Selena's talk, I mean, if you ask various system administrators, what's the right way to do this thing? They will have a strong immediate opinion, like, we do it this way because this is right. You might get different answers from different people, but you know, I think there's a sense where system administrators know that there are a lot of right things to do. There's a lot of wide agreement on what best practices are, and yet there's also these people who are like, well, oh, but we don't know, you know, it's not possible to teach this. It's like, well, but you have a lot of knowledge and you like giving it to other people and that's teaching, you know, that this really is possible and that it can be done. And in fact, one of the things I cite in my paper is Elizabeth Zwicky gave this great talk at LISA 2006 with a title approximately like Problem Solving, You Can Teach It and You Should. And it, you know, very much, one of her major points was, if you believe you can teach something, you will at least try, and you can even succeed. If you don't believe you can teach something, you won't try, and then it won't happen. So just believing that you can is a major factor in getting it to happen at all. And that you can teach abstract things like problem solving. You don't have, you know, it takes some creativity and some cleverness and frequently a lot of one-on-one interaction, but it can be done. So now that I've started getting all this email from a summer session coordinator, you know, trying to, you know, asking me what I want to do, and it's like, oh God, now I have to actually design all of this. So I immediately started thinking, I guess like a good system administrator would, about, you know, what are my constraints, you know, how much room do I have to work in? Well, one of the things is that this was an 8-week summer session class. And, well, that's not really a whole lot of time to cover anything. I have to really think pretty hard about what I want to teach, you know, what I can teach usefully in this in that amount of time. And, you know, that pretty much determined that it really needs to be an introductory class. I just need to try to cover some sort of, you know, really critical ideas, whatever I think are the critical ideas about system administration. And, you know, in fact, the advice I got from the faculty member who was sponsoring this was, try not to be too ambitious. And that turned out to actually be really good advice. I mean, once I was in contact with a student, it's like, you know, okay, I could have gone into this with like, I'm going to do an 8-week system administration boot camp, and everybody would have been frustrated, including me. I couldn't really assume that students had extensive knowledge about Unix operating system concepts. Even when I tried making the operating systems class a prerequisite for my class, you know, again, our computer science department is fairly theoretical. So these people, you know, even people who had taken the operating systems class didn't really have a lot of detailed knowledge about how to use the Unix command line or how to do stuff in Unix. So I sort of had to work in at least some introductory material to try to get them up to speed on that. One of the things that was a constraint, but also something I think made my class design a lot easier, is I did get a dedicated lab. They said, here is a room with 10 computers in it that you can use the entire term. On the other hand, you know, the constraints with that were, these things were shared among different classes. So, you know, some other class had used these before I had. So I didn't, you know, who knows what OSs were on them, you know. I basically needed to come up with a way to bootstrap them into a useful state. The first year, I had 30 students and 10 computers. So somehow, we were going to have to share them. And the access hours were limited. So one of my goals that came out of that was I need to get these on the network as soon as safely possible so that students can work on things outside the limited open hours of this lab. Also, I wasn't going to get a teaching assistant, and I wasn't even sure I wanted to try to ask for one because I wasn't sure how I could even use one. You know, how much work would it take to bring a teaching assistant up to speed to be able to assist me well? So I kind of would just, you know, okay, I'm going to have to go on my own with this and try to make all of this stuff workable for me to manage as a single instructor. So then I had this, you know, well, what, you know, how do I want to teach this? What do I think are the most critical things to try to cover in teaching? So I thought back to my own undergraduate career, and, you know, time is flying. Okay, I hated, you know, having underspecified assignments. I wanted to make assignments that had really concrete goals for students, you know, and also make it easy for me to grade them by being able to give them quick feedback. I knew that students had different ways of learning, you know, and so some students want to sit in a lecture and hear me talk. Some of them want to read stuff in a book. Some of them just need to have personal interaction where you guide them through a process. You know, other people can just sort of sit down and work things out on their own. I felt it was really important to give people principles, even if I was covering a specific piece of software. It's like, we're covering a specific piece of software, so you have a concrete example of what to do. There are other items of software that do this. There are principles in how we design systems, you know, use the software, and even how we design systems and the processes we use that you can apply no matter what you're using. And I wanted to try to integrate a bunch of non-technical aspects of system administration, specifically communicating with other system administrators and user community, documenting things for other system administrators and for system users, and just the notion that you're providing a service to other people when you do system administration. So partly because I had more students than I had computers, students will have to work in groups, but I can use this to emphasize those communication and collaboration themes. I'm going to make the class outline based on a series of projects, you know, so that they actually do practical things. You know, they can have hands-on learning. Later, partly to help emphasize the communication aspect, I also added some class discussions that were worth points. And it wasn't even like I graded them on how well they discussed things. I just graded them on showing up and talking about stuff. You know, or I just gave them the points for showing up and talking about stuff, you know, even to a minimal extent. And when I graded stuff, as much as possible, I tried to make it objective in terms of, you know, did it work or not? Did you get this to happen? You know, can I send mail to you? Can you send mail to me? So, you know, besides the practice and experience report that I wrote for the proceedings, I have a complete course, you know, a complete website online that has the entire detailed course syllabus, all the assignment descriptions, you know, a whole bunch of lecture material, and the paper is sort of like how I designed the class, but you can just see all the detailed material for the class, and you can even see the history of how it's developed over time. Where am I at, Andrew? Okay. So I'm not going to give you, like, of course, by looking at the paper and even more in more detail at the website, you'll see what the class is about. But just to show you what I put into the class, I'm going to very quickly go through the week-by-week assignment setup. So week one is pretty much just getting the class together, getting students to form groups, you know, getting them onto lab systems so they can start on the first assignment. And that's also where I fit in some of the introductory material on Unix OS concepts. Week two, they basically do the OS install for their system. And they get to pick their own OS, and I'll hopefully have some time to discuss that briefly at the end of the talk. It was a dangerous choice that worked, as I described it. The actual product they turn in is a version control file showing all the change history of their installation, from which I can check out, you know, the most recent version of their installation document. So the goal of this, you know, the visible goal of this is they need an OS on their computer. This gets them to install it. What I'm really trying to teach them with it is creating a documented, repeatable process, and about how to use version control to manage, you know, to record and manage changes. The next step is, so they have an OS on their computer. I have not let them connect that to the network yet. excuse me. So what they do for the assignment is they actually have to get in and describe how all the processes on their system got started. This is also a way to get them to look at, you know, how does the system start up at boot time? What controls that? You know, how do these scripts work? They can use that information to then, if necessary, turn off network services before they put their machine on the network. Then they configure it to be on the network. Then they have to download and install whatever new updates their distributor has. So basically, my practical requirement is I need the computers to be safe to put on the network, but I also get to introduce them to security, and they get to learn about how system initialization happens. The next week's assignment, is basically they install Apache and send mail from source. Those are the only two things I actually require them to install from source. If they have package version, if they need like other stuff to do this, I say, go get the packages and install those. I don't want you to build everything from source, but I want you to build these two things from source and install them by hand to see why, get an idea of why your package manager is so complicated and to know what's going on behind the scenes when your package manager runs. And then they just have to demonstrate the ability to serve up web pages and send and receive mail. And then they also get to get some overview of how network services work and how SMTP and HTTP work as protocols. Actually, I'm going to cover one last thing. There's a thing on account management where they have to create accounts. There's a week where they basically just learn about how logging and monitoring work at work and write a simple script to extract log data and mail it to themselves. The final project is then where there were two things I wanted to do with this. Is one, I wanted to let students pick something of their own to learn. And I also wanted them to sort of get a framework for how to manage their own projects if they, you know, in system administration. You know, and so I basically make them consider, you know, come up with a project, come up with a concrete goal, describe how it benefits your users, think about how it affects your security, think about how much work it's going to be to implement and later maintain this, and then provide documentation on how it all works. Some of the things I put into this class that worked, I consider them dangerous choices because I didn't know initially how they were going to work. Working in groups, I knew from my own experience, could get really dicey, but it was not as difficult as I thought it, you know, or I had fewer difficulties with it than I thought I was going to have. Partly I'm getting a lot of self-selected, self-motivated students. Partly I just keep an eye on things, and I stole this idea from Evie Nemeth at the first workshop I was at, where she basically has the students send her individually ratings of how much they thought each of the group members contributed. And I can use that to go, well, you know, is there a consistent pattern of someone looking like they're slacking, and then get together with the group and go, you know, how is this working out for you? Is somebody, you know, not contributing well? And Like I also tell them to assuage their fears, I won't assign on equal credit until I've had a chance to talk to you and, you know, really understand what's going on. You know, and it's a clear pattern that someone is not contributing well, and they admit it. Giving students their own choice of operating system worked better than I thought. It's a little more work for me because I have to stay conversant with a bunch of different distributions, but it also shows them that there are a bunch of different ways to make these things work, and that most any common Linux or Unix distribution can be made to serve well for what you're doing. Another idea I got from that first workshop was these people described basically having a simple troubleshooting exercise where they go in and break systems or give people like a pre-broken VM, and they have to work out what's wrong with it. You know, what I do is I basically break people's systems in some non-damaging way, non-permanently damaging way, and make them work out how to fix it. Students love doing this, and they're like, oh, we want to do more of this. And it's like, well, first of all, it's a lot of work for me to do this and make it safe. And also, if I had done this the first week of class, would you have had any idea, even any idea what to start looking at? You know, now that you're late in the class when we're doing it, you've got some experience with your system and you understand how some things work. I can only do this once you actually know enough to make this possible. And I guess at this point, who has questions? Yes? Our university does have, they call it a teaching effectiveness program. Alas, I have not taken advantage of that. I probably should, because they do have a lot of very good, like, they'll have someone sit in on a lecture, and then afterwards, you know, here's some things you could do to improve your lecture, your technique. I was actually surprised at how little oversight there was. You know, I was expecting I would have to submit a lot of material for review and approval. It was pretty much just, yep, here's your classroom, here's your time, have fun. You know, it's like, wow, I was, you know, maybe hoping for more feedback on that. Rudy, yeah.
You said the writing was 8 weeks?
Yes.
During, in a week, how much time were the students working in the class? I don't know the
summer. Oh, yeah, okay. So the way, the U of O has a term schedule, which is normally 10 or 11 weeks. 10 or 11 week terms during the regular academic year. They run a bunch of compressed classes in the summer session that are typically 4 or 8 weeks. So an 8 week class is four or five 1 hour lectures during the week. And then sort of a typical expected ratio of maybe, you know, 2 to 4 times as much time outside the class doing homework. And I sort of try to aim my projects so that they're not, you know, I know that students are taking other classes at the time, so I'm not going to try to eat up all their time. I try to keep like to that 2 or 3 to 1, you know, 2 hours outside of class for every hour in class ratio. Over 8 weeks. Yeah, potentially. Yeah. Initially, I made the upper division, like typically senior-level operating systems class, a prerequisite. Mainly what I found is it didn't prepare them well, and it also just made a lot of work for me because there were people who I could tell were probably talented enough to get in who didn't have the prerequisite who I'd have to wave in. At this point, it's numbered as a 399 class, meaning it's an upper division elective class, and I just use the standard prerequisite of upper division CIS student. And I still wave some people in. The summer session also gets a lot of community education signups, or even people who take this class who are already working at the university, you know, that use this as a training opportunity. Yes? I realize I haven't been repeating everybody's questions, but so the question was whether I introduced virtualization. If I did integrate virtualization into the class, it would probably be because I didn't have the dedicated hardware lab anymore. The main choice, and what I discussed more in the paper, is it's an 8 week class. I have to pick and choose what I want to cover. I also keep struggling with, well, could I throw in configuration management or squeeze it in somehow? And it's just like, you know, I might anyway. I might redesign the class to do that because it's sort of shifting from being an advanced topic to almost a fundamental topic. Similarly with virtualization, you know, it's sort of more of an advanced topic, but, you know, it's shifting to where it's becoming fundamental to what people do. I think the concepts I'm teaching would apply whether you're administering an actual physical hardware machine or a virtual machine. And I'd say that, you know, I speak about virtualization, but I, you know, it's not integrated into the class at this point. Another one? Yes?
A couple things that we found that were helpful. Number one was the project was taught previously once, and most of the students came back and said, oh, you killed us. You gave us so much work, you just didn't have time. By putting people in groups, that allowed us to accomplish more so that we could assign them essentially like 30 hours of work during the week, and there were 5 people in the group.
Right. And I'm kind of depending on that, too. Like, most of the, if you look at the detailed assignments, they're designed to be fairly easily fungible, where, you know, the work can be divided up, or one person can work on this part, another person can work on this part. Yeah. Yeah. I have heard from other teachers doing other courses, like, you know, they do everything on VMs partly because they don't have the dedicated hardware lab. So, yes. Yeah. That's why I use the dedicated. Yeah. I'm sorry, what? Okay. So, if I understand correctly, so you're saying, like, having the dedicated hardware means that students can work on stuff at night. Or, well, potentially, like, if they carry the VM around, you know, they can just have the image of the VM and boot that up on anything, potentially. But, yeah, I like having the dedicated hardware for now because I make it remotely accessible, then students can work on it whenever they have time, you know, not just during really limited lab hours. Yes. There's actually a table in the paper that shows how many people are in the class. It's fluctuated a lot. The most recent version of the class had a maximum enrollment of 20 and 17 people when registration stabilized. It has varied from a maximum of 38 to a minimum of about 11. Which actually is consistently popular, essentially, relative to our computer science department's overall enrollment. Are we done?